Well, today's Super Bowl Sunday. Who's going to be watching the big game? Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's a big day, Super Bowl Sunday. You know, all the press leading up to it is, can Peyton overcome the trials and the temptations and the struggles, you know, the cold weather and the great defense, and can good overcome evil, you know, Peyton over the Seahawks. And you know, there's all this buildup for the big game. We get to see, you know, we hope to see these amazing feats, these amazing examples of overcoming trial and sacrifice and hard work and all of that coming true. But you know what's cool about this? It is on such a big Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, millions and millions and millions of people all over the world are going to be watching. But today, right now, this morning, we get to celebrate something even bigger. Because there has been a battle being waged since the very beginning of time. And this battle, unlike later today, involves every single one of us. We are a part. We are a player in the biggest battle of good versus evil the world will ever know or ever see. And the cool part is what we do here on Sunday morning is we come and we praise and we glorify and we adorn the one who will defeat evil every time. Peyton, I imagine you can see who I'm rooting for here today, but Peyton might not overcome this today. He might fail as he's failed in the past. But we worship and praise a God who never falls short, who never fails, who triumphs over every evil, and he does it for us. And when we come and have an awesome worship set like we just had, where we get to raise our hands, we get to praise, and we get to sing, we get to glorify God. You know, they say in America, Christians don't know how to worship. Every Sunday and every Saturday during football season, I see that Americans know how to worship. And so we come here and we praise the true God, the one who overcomes every battle in our life, the one who overcomes evil every time, who comes through and wins the victory for us. It is cool to be in the house of the Lord, is it not? Amen. Well, today we continue our series of what the world needs now. And today we're going to be talking about the Word of God. I want to start by talking about there's a pastor I really like to listen to. His name is Mark Driscoll. He's a pastor in Seattle, Washington. He's a Calvinist, but he's a good guy. And but he's also a New York Times bestselling author. And his newest book came out, A Call to Resurgence. And this is the tagline for the book. Will Christianity have a future or a funeral? And it's an interesting question. And I just bought the book. I haven't been able to read it yet. But I want to read to you what he wrote in the inside jacket. He wrote this. The reality is obvious to anyone who hasn't shut their eyes to what is going on. We are fast approaching a cliff. The river of culture is surging headlong towards the brink, if it hasn't begun to tumble over already. And the waters are carrying away believers by the millions. Many will cower, lose their grip, and fall over the edge. For those ready to dig in and hang on, however, this book will look at what we're up against. I'll explore what it will take to survive the onslaught and what it will take to accomplish the mission God has given us, to extend a helping hand to those who are drowning. This flood of anti-Christian values into our culture means life is getting harder for anyone who really does want to follow Jesus. You know, like this book says, unless you're completely oblivious, unless you're the ostrich with your head in the sand, it is impossible to see, not to see, that our culture is rapidly growing anti-Christian. You know, just recently, the governor of New York, he said that extreme conservatives have no place in the state of New York. When he described extreme conservatives as those that are pro-life and those that support traditional marriage. And then the mayor of New York came out and agreed with him. And then we also had the Grammys not too long ago. Did anybody watch the Grammys? And we got to watch 33 couples come on stage, some heterosexual, some homosexual. And while they sang a song about open tolerance and accepting homosexuality, Queen Latifah officiated and married them. Because that's exactly what music award shows are really all about, right? Making statements about marriage. And then, you know, if you're excited about the Winter Olympics and you're trying to watch Winter Olympic coverage, you either get terrorism or what right now? Homosexuality. Because Russia, you know, they don't think that, you know, the U.S.'s stance on massively orchestrated homosexual pushing agenda is a good idea. So we've made this all about pushing a homosexual agenda. You know, it's interesting. No matter what you watch, whether you read the newspaper, whether you read the magazines, whether you watch the news, whether you watch sitcoms on TV, whether you just follow culture in general, or whether you follow politics, all we see here in America is people pulling farther and farther away from Christian values. And whether the topic is abortion, women's rights, gay rights, importance of traditional family, government spending, government overreaching, health care, sexual freedom, recreational drug use, oil, foreign aid, religious freedom, corporate greed, capitalism, socialism, terrorism, communism, or school prayer, no matter the topic, our debates on these topics are not open discussions to find truth. They are merely platforms for us to stay how right we are. And our dislike for those that are opposed to us. You know, if you follow all this and you look at all this, the world is very much trying to paint a picture that Christians are doomed. Is it not? That we're just going to be overcome, we're going to disappear, our voices are going to be silenced, that we're just doomed. But friends, that's exactly what Satan wants you to think. And that's exactly how he wants you to feel. There are times in history, and there are places on this earth right now where Christians have it monumentally worse than people on TV being mean to them. I tell you that so that you will not be overwhelmed, because this is not a new phenomenon. I invite you to flip to the back of your service flyer as we read today's word. And it's very interesting because Paul is writing and he's talking about two groups here, the Jews and the Greeks. And he's going to talk about what they're known for, and he's going to talk about that they think they got it all figured out. They think their way is right. They think they are outside the church, and they think they know all the answers to everything. So let's read it. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the foolishness of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. See, Paul is discussing to these two groups, he's discussing the Jews and the Greeks and how their wisdom and their understanding and their ways are right. And what he is going to say to them is going to sound very applicable to our generation today, to our situation in America. Because what he says is this. He says that the wisdom of the world is not the treasure that it's all cracked up to be. He says the wisdom of the world actually leads them to hell. They are literally perishing in their own wisdom. And he says the world is supremely confident that they know what God is like and how to deal with them. And the world is incredibly confident it has all the answers to its problems. Does this sound familiar at all? But he's writing this long, long ago. But when you look at this culture and you understand, the Greeks, truly great thinkers, marvelous, brilliant minds. And then you look at the Jews, these masterfully well-studied Jews. It's ironic, they were still unable to find their way to the truth of salvation. You see, the world will never find God through its own wisdom. See, the Greeks wanted a religion that would challenge their intellect, but not one that they couldn't master through their own reason. And they wanted God or gods that they could manipulate to do their own desires. And then it says in the text here as well that the Jews, they were the ones that demanded the signs. They wanted signs in order to believe. And so Jesus healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He gave hearing to the deaf. He raised the dead. He calmed the storms. He fed the thousands. He released demons, many of which, almost all of which, was in front of, witnessed by Jews. Yet that wasn't good enough. They wanted different signs. They wanted a different Savior. They wanted a liberator from Rome rather than a Savior of sins. And they condemned and rejected Jesus and his teachings for not offering this. And then they even persecuted and killed Jesus and his followers. Friends, this is the truth that we have today. The world does not get us. The outside world, they just don't get us. They never have, and they never will. You know, the great philosopher, Friedrich Nietzsche, he said this, "Christianity is a favoring of the botched and the degenerate, and despising of the rich, scholarly, noble, healthy, and strong." And you know, when you read Jesus' words, when he's speaking the Beatitudes, when he's saying, blessed is everything, it's very ironic because this is exactly what Jesus says. He says, blessed are the poor, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are the hungry and thirsty, blessed are those that are persecuted. That's what Jesus has been saying since the very beginning, that the world has it all backwards. The world puts a bunch of weight on things that they shouldn't care about, and it looks past the things it should really focus on. Because God says this, what a man considers weak, I make strong. And what a man considers foolish, I make it wise. Friends, what the world needs now is truly God's word. The world needs to hear the truth of God's word. I have a video to illustrate this. And what the video really shows is the world either doesn't know God's word at all, or it completely misunderstands God's word completely. And I have this video from a news clip that I want to show here.
And Matthew 15, he says, all sexual acts to the outside of marriage
And I want to say one thing real quick. You know, kudos to the guy that goes on this show and stands up to this, you know? Kudos to him. But as a pastor, that video clip just frustrates me to no end. And it should you too. Because the sad thing about this clip is in our families, we have loved ones that we know people that are homosexuals, that are looking for truth and answers on this issue, that are looking for truth and answers on divorce and abortion and all these different topics that get debated all the time. And the sad thing is this is on TV. And there was probably somebody watching this that said, ah, see, he said what I wanted to hear. I'm good. See, the trouble with this video is that this is happening all over America all the time. That people are taking the word and they're trying to tell people that they're okay where they're at. They're okay being a sinner. That what they're doing is fine. And they're trying to use the Bible to say that. I mean, what did the guy say? Many biblical scholars say Sodom and Gomorrah is about what? Being inhospitable to neighbors? Friends, is that what Sodom and Gomorrah is about? Absolutely not. But do you think somebody watching that might have been influenced and said, oh, see, they're just trying to tell us homosexuality is wrong. It's really not wrong. It's about something else. This is the danger. Because, see, when I see videos like this and when I hear these debates going on, the two big problems that I see with the world today, and this isn't just about homosexuality, this is about all the debates that Christians are in all the time. The two big problems I see are this. The first one is this. The world is confident they know all they need to know about God. They are absolutely confident they know all they need to know. And they will find the people that say what their itching ears want to hear. If they don't like this pastor that preached law to them, they will go down the street to another pastor that will say, what you're doing is absolutely fine. And if they don't like what that pastor says, they're going to go and just sit at home and watch a pastor online that will tell them exactly what they want to hear. And if they don't like what they hear there, they will just start watching television. And television will tell them that they're fine. Queen Latifah will tell them they're fine. And she'll marry them. Friends, this is the problem. The world is confident that they know all they need to know about God. And here's the second big problem. The world is confident that what they have heard about God is accurate. They're convinced it's accurate. I mean, that man said, most biblical scholars. What sources did he quote? Who did he quote? Do you think somebody that heard that will go out and tell their friend, most biblical scholars say Sodom and Gomorrah isn't about that? Do they have any idea what the sources behind that are? No. They just take it. Why? Because it's what they want to believe. Because we know this, and we do this in our own lives. When we're confronted with sin, if we can find somebody that's going to let us off the hook, that's why kids, when they get in trouble and mom's yelling at them, where do they go? To dad. Is dad going to let me off the hook? That's innate in all of our natures. They want to go where somebody's going to tell them they're fine, where they're not wrong. And so they're going to trust and listen to the people that they think say what they want to hear. And this is the biggest problem with that. Our truth, the truth that we know and preach and teach, is not getting through. We are failing to get God's truth out into the community. You see, the world needs to hear the word. The world needs to hear the true, unedited God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says this. There is nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful. It shows us truth. It exposes our rebellion. It corrects our mistakes, and it trains us to live life God's way. Through the Word, we are formed for the task God has for us. This is important for us to understand, that the Word of God is not just good for the outside, it's good for us too. It is good for everybody. The world, Christians and non-Christians alike, need the Word of God. Because it shows us the way to salvation. It gives us the power to overcome the sin in our lives. It can set you free from your hurts, from your habits, and from your hang-ups. It is a weapon against all temptation. It gives you a direction and clarity for your future, and it shows you how to live God's way. Here's the big problem. Two big problems with Christians getting the word out there. A, they don't know the word enough to share it. Or B, they're not bold enough to do it. You know, and I want to say as your pastor, I'm in this boat with you. There have been times, and I am ashamed, where I know I should have said something and I didn't. I didn't want to make a scene. Some guy was, you know, mouthing off and saying a bunch of stuff, and I thought, it's not worth bothering him. It's not worth making a scene. I'm not going to say anything. He's 100% wrong, and all these other people are listening, but I won't say anything. And it bothers me that I've done that before. And you know, as your pastor too, I can tell you, I need to learn the Word of God better. You know, I am amazed by those people that can just sit there, and when they want to quote a verse, you know, they're just like, you know, Matthew 4:4, you know, man shall not live on bread alone. Boom, this, and they got the numbers and the verses. I'm not that kind of a Christian yet. I want to be. I'm working on it. I'm more that Christian that's like, I'm pretty sure Matthew says this. And if I really don't know, I know the Bible says this. You know, I would love to be the guy that knows chapter and verse, and every day I work on it. I read, and I study, and I highlight, and I try and memorize. And you should too. You should be ready to give an account for what it is that you believe. You should know the Word of God. Because I can tell you what, it's been really cool those times where somebody comes up and they ask me a question, and I can't say chapter and verse right here. They're impressed, and I'm impressed. And I'm going, good job, God. But to be able to point the people to the right place is important. And it takes Christians knowing the Word of God to be able to share it. And it takes Christians being bold enough to step up and share it. And I struggle with this too. But for those of you that don't read your Bible, don't grow in your Bible, let me challenge you with this. You know, it's the equivalent, not reading your Bible. It's the equivalent of coming down Christmas morning and everybody else in the family opens up their presents and celebrates it. And you just sit there and leave yours under the tree. And just the whole year goes by and you don't open them. And you just let them be. This Word of God, it is a gift to you. I mean, have you ever in your life, in a state of depression, needed some comforts, just some comforting words? Crack open your Bible and read about the God of the universe, the all-powerful God, taking time to think of you and telling you He loves you. Not, you know, everybody in the world. He specifically loves you. He talks specifically to you. Take comfort in that. God loves me. The God of the universe who's you know, trying to stop volcanoes from happening and managing everything in the world. He loves me. Have you ever in your life needed courage for something? Needed to hear some words of encouragement? Open your Bible and read about mere mortals who do the impossible because the God of the universe is in them and doing it through them. Have you ever needed guidance in your life? Lord knows I have. When I'm lost and I need to know this way or that way or what do I do, have you ever needed guidance? Crack open your Bible. The greatest counselor the world will ever know is 100% free. You don't have to pay a dime. You just got to read it and you've already got it in front of you. And He'll counsel you through anything. Do you need forgiveness? The God of the universe will tell you that He loves you so much that He sent His own Son to die and pay for you so that you would be forgiven. Do you need to be encouraged to forgive? He'll say, look, if you want forgiveness from me, you got to forgive others. And you can hear those words of encouragement come from God Himself. Have you ever needed boldness? You can read in the scriptures about men and women who are willing to die for their faith. They care so much. And you could take boldness from that. Or especially in our culture today, have you ever just needed to hear truth? Just, you know, the sifting sands of our world. Have you ever just needed to put your feet on solid ground and say, this is true? To crack open the Bible and read God's answers to you on what is true, and it will resonate deep in your heart, and you'll go, you know what? That's true. I know that. That's the solid ground I was looking for. That's where I needed to hear so that I could stand firm in this. Friends, the Bible is a gift to you. It's the God of the universe coming to you. And when you read in the scriptures, when he says, stop doing this, he's talking to you. You specifically, stop doing this. When he's saying, do this, he's talking to you. When he says, I love you, he's talking to you. The God of the universe, you know, you think that the Bible is really long. It's so long. I don't want to read the whole thing. God took the time to write the whole thing to you, to tell you how much he loves you, to tell you what he's done in history, what he's going to do, and what he wants you to do now in the present. That's his love story to you. It's all right there in front of you. And here's the biggest thing. The world desperately needs to hear those words to them. And the only way those words are going to get to them is if we share it with them. They desperately need this too. The world needs Christians that are bold enough and willing to challenge the misunderstandings around them. The world needs Christians to challenge its flawed reasoning. The world needs Christians that love their neighbor enough to care to do something. Friends, if you had a neighbor that came over and said, hey, you know, I found this bottle of turpentine, and I saw online that if I drink a shot of it a day, it'll keep the doctor away. Would you say something? Would you? So when they come over and they say, hey, we're going to get an abortion because financially it doesn't make a lot of sense to have a kid right now, or hey, we're going to get a divorce because we're bored, or hey, you know, my son's a homosexual, and I told him, that's great. Be who you want to be. Come out, and let's celebrate it. Are you just going to let them do something that's going to lead them to death? Or are you going to say something? The world needs Christians that care enough to say something. The world needs Christians that are bold enough to share God's truth and share God's word. And the funny thing is, that's just the mission God gave you.